It's the start of something beautiful. A small acquaintance has blossomed. It's ripened into a precious friendship. It feels like life. Ah, it's better with you. My life. Ah, it's better with you. This is true. Ah, it's better with two. My life. Ah, it's better with you.
This is so weird. They said they would be here right at this time. They said 4:09 sharp, meet us.
It was oddly specific.
Yeah, at the parking lot of where the Kroger that used to be a Big Bear. Meet us at 4:09 p.m. East Coast time. Travis McElroy, co-host of my brother and me. Where do you think they could be?
I don't know, Justin McElroy, co-host of my brother and me. Oh, Griffin McElroy, co-host of my brother and me. Do you see them anywhere?
Oh, yeah, there they are. Oh, no, wait, that's a fire truck.
No, wait, they're stepping out of the fire truck?
Where did they get a fire truck? Hey, guys, what's going on?
Oh, hey, we've been looking for a Big Bear sign.
Oh, yeah. it used to be Big Bear.
Something's gone real amok.
Okay. Yeah. See, I thought it was a Kroger, and then they said no.
No. It used to be a brick factory, and then became a Big Bear.
It was a Big Bear, then a Kroger. Now it's a COVID-19 vaccine injection site.
Oh, sure.
So you got to get, it's kind of a one-stop shop. But it is also still a Kroger, which is nice.
It is nice.
So when they say injection site irritations, do they mean here?
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Because the guy who gives them does a lot of like puns, and that's not my exact kind of thing. So it is kind of irritating.
Sure.
Well, it's in my contract that if there's going to be big game involved, I only arrive in a fire truck. Thus, our transportation
makes sense
today. That's on me, you guys. We didn't need to rent this thing.
Well said, Drea Clark, co-host of the Maximum Podcast.
Thanks, Alonzo Duralde, co-host of Maximum Film. Hey, who's this other guy in our fire truck?
Oh, you know, I was just back here taking selfies, really trying to do a selfie calendar. You know, one theme, which is being a firefighter. You know, I want to, you know, shout them out.
I was wondering what you were doing with that hose, Iffy Wadaway, co-host of Maximum Film.
I was definitely being suggestive with it, but not. Yeah. In a non-classy way.
No, it was very tasteful. I was going to say very tasteful.
Well, I guess now it's time for us to knife fight like we agreed on.
Let's rumble.
Why did Jesse Thorne make us knife fight each other?
He said for his love, which was weird.
Really weird.
No, we have two different podcasts. One, our podcast, the us brothers do one. It's a brother advice show called My Brother and Me. And Maximum Film, you'll never guess.
It's film and it's on Maximum Fun. It's a movie review show that isn't just a bunch of straight white guys. No offense to you, straight white guys.
No, we're
a big fan of them in general. None of us are one. Someone's got to be.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Finally, someone's supporting the straight white guys. Thanks, Andrea. Nice to finally have some support.
It's been too long.
So this is what we talked about for a merging of our two themes into one, advice that we got from movies, both good and bad. And I would love to hear good advice that y'all got from movies. Griffin's adjusting his blind, so he's not gonna start. Left his headphones on though, which I appreciate. That's a
G move. Yeah, he's just like, I'm gonna stay in the know, you know. I'm not gonna take the cans off. That's an industry term for headphones for any listener.
That's what that means. I've been wondering because you will say it and I'm like, okay.
If I remove myself from the sauce, it's so hard to get back in.
You know what? I tell you what, it's not fair for me to introduce a concept and then not get the ideological ball rolling. So let me pull mine. Wayne's World for a long time has been my favorite movie ever. It may have been supplanted by Holy Motors at this point. I'm not sure, but it's up there. It's top one or two, right? And
Wayne's World was a movie. Holy Motors is up there as your top one of your maybe your favorite movie? Okay.
Like, it's up there, man. It's, like, really good. You should see it. It's
no, I did anyway. See it. It's just yeah, a wild didn't resonate pick. With
you, which is fine. That's movies for you, I guess.
You think about Wayne's World, you think about Holy Motors and vice versa. Same everybody's always terrible.
Right. I get but confused
so I watched Wayne's World, like, 50 times growing up, could quit the whole thing from memory pretty much. And the number one lesson that I took away from it is hilarious that we are here talking about that on Maximum Fun, because I learned a real distrust for corporate ownership of your individually owned IP. Yeah. Right? So if you remember the premise of Wayne's World is that Benjamin, who's a network executive, buys the rights to Wayne's World so he can sell it to Noah's Arcade as a sponsorship opportunity. And he basically buys the show for $5,000 each. And then
we got $5,000.
We got $5,000. But it ruins it. It almost tears them apart, their relationship. And
was that supposed to be a lot of money to them?
It was. Yeah. It was massive to those guys. And then the lesson they learned, Benjamin turns out to be a bad guy. And Wayne says to Benjamin's henchman, Benjamin is no one's friend. If he were an ice cream flavor, he'd be pralines and dick.
If Benjamin were an ice cream flavor, he'd be pralines and dick.
And I remember that if I get something that's good and people like it, I'm not going to sell out to the corporate bigwigs. That was a very big theme at that point, thanks to things like Reality Bites or what have you. But that is the lesson that I took from Wayne's World, and it has served me well at an artist-owned, audience-supported
that's
network.
A good
right?
That's fun.
Wayne's World, the division of NBC Universal.
Yeah. Right. My lesson from Wayne's World was don't trust men that look like Rob Lowe.
So yeah, it's a good one.
We kind of had similar lessons. Yeah. But
so, Drea, does that make it hard for you to trust me?
Yeah. Yeah, sorry. I apologize for the cackle I just invented.
No, I get
don't
it. It's
trust
just, it was
any
too real.
Of you because of your strong resemblance to Rob Lowe.
One of the biggest lessons I took away is my favorite movie is Blazing Saddles, and the scene where Gene Wilder is talking to Cleavon Little, and he's saying, like, you know, these are salt of the earth folks. These are you know, the solid. And then he ends it with, you know, morons.
You've got to remember that these are just simple farmers. These are people of the land. The common clay of the New West. You know. Morons.
Is this this idea of like, hey man, don't let them get you down. Don't let the stupid folks get you down. Not really. That meant a lot to me. And also, the other lesson, if you can become friends with Gene Wilder, you really should. You should really become friends with Gene Wilder. To the point where I got the line, you know, morons tattooed onto my skin.
Amazing. Oh.
Yes.
Faked sick a lot, I think just all of Ferris Bueller's Day Off, basically from start to finish. There's probably a lot of takeaways from that film that are maybe not the best thing to let get ingrained in your sort of high school psyche if you want to have like a good educational career. Mm-hmm. But if you want to, you know, not go to school and instead eat a bunch of hot dogs.
Is that what you did?
Yeah, I just nonstop. Just would pound hot
that
dogs.
That makes sense. I wonder what happened to all the hot dogs. So that actually tracks.
Griffin, did you ever lick your palms to make them clammy?
No, my parents never really. I was the youngest, so I really never faced that much scrutiny. It wouldn't require that much.
Fellow youngest, yes, testify, amen, for sure.
Yeah, just one of my little cute baby coughs, and I was made in the shade.
I have seen Ferris Bueller's Day Off so many times, more times than I could possibly count. And this is the first time, like, as an adult that I've thought about, like, I don't care what Cameron's relationship is to his dad or what kind of person his dad is like. I just want to see the scene where dad comes home and the car's on, and he's like, listen, yes, of course I'm upset. That doesn't make me a bad guy. You smashed my car out there. You stole my car.
Yeah.
Drove it all over the place. And then crashed it out into the back of our house.
Yeah, our dad is famously very kind, a very sweet man. And if we destroyed his automobile
and house,
and house,
the back of the house,
and a good chunk of his house, that garage is going to need remodeling. And that was a nice garage.
It felt like more of a carport. Was it more of a carport?
Anyway,
it was like a showroom. I think it was a showroom. It's what I would go with. But
Maximum Film, folks, any advice that has stuck with you?
I mean, in the abstract, like, I pick up on a lot of, like, old cocktails and desserts from old movies that I want to try. Like, I had Floating Island at an L.A. restaurant that's been around for decades just because they eat it in desk set. But in a more concrete way, the movie Defending Your Life, because I'm an atheist and don't live by any other sort of codes, at least instilled in me the idea that, like, if we're judged for anything in our lives, it's for whether or not we were afraid of stuff. Oh. And not that fear in general is always a bad thing.
Damn it.
But it's
I'm
a good
so
idea.
So screwed.
Yes. Diving right into the piranha infested waters because fuck it. No. You know, but I like that as a sort of philosophy of like the, you know, it's not about that if you aren't afraid of stuff, then you are more likely to be better to other people and to treat yourself better. And so I don't know. That's the thing I took away from it.
That's a really positive one. Like, philosophical, heartfelt, and now let's go to Iffy.
Yeah, mine is just straight up, when I was in kindergarten, I stuck a bobby pin in an electrical socket because if you know me, of course. And, you know, I've recently seen movies like Home Alone where if he's when he was electrocuted and he turns into bones and then he caught on fire and we just learned stop, drop, and roll. So after getting electrocuted, I stopped, dropped, rolled, threw off I was so sure I was on fire. And then I turned to my friend and goes, did you see my bones? As I was so sure that I was going to get electrocuted. And my bones, you would see my bones. And
kind of disappointing that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
But you did experience discomfort, though, right? Like, you did get the shock, though.
Yeah, I definitely was shocked.
Your Daffy Duck bill was on the back of your head.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I was so convinced that we lived on Looney Tunes physics, and I was like, yeah, you saw my bones, I was on fire, none of that happened.
Like, and to you also, you are not saying this as a lesson I learned to not continue. You are proud of this moment in your history. Like, I feel any movie that has any lessons built in about dumb stuff kids do, Iffy still on his bucket list. Like, you can't wait to be in the cold so you can lick a pole.
Look, you see a warning. Story. I see a challenge.
He
that's
wants
why
to chew
I got
that gum
black
that turns
challenger.
You into a blueberry.
You know, yeah, yes. I got the black challenger in the garage. It scares me. You know, it scares me, but I'm going to ride it and I'm going to race against my fugitive friend against a train coming. And that's how you build a family.
And that's the dream.
That's the dream. I think on a related note, though, how many lives has Home Alone saved just by keeping all of our heads on a swivel for household accidents? Just
and
like
and teaching us to really trust that creepy person who lives next door. Because listen, they seem creepy, but they're harmless. Definitely go into their house.
Say what you will about Home Alone. Teaches you to respect your crazy, weird, old next door neighbor and not trust the cop that came
not
to your house right before. Home Alone's ahead of the game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Home Alone was saying A-cab way before anyone else was.
A-cab, all cops are Joe Pesci. You got to watch out.
Listen, we've had a lot of fun here today, and that may not be true, but one out of every three cops is Joe Pesci.
So.
Well, interesting, like, this is less of a lesson that I can take with me and more a reality that movies universally told me that the most interesting groups are comprised of a strange array of eccentric men with varying degrees of handsomeness and age, and one woman. And I look at us today, and it's really a lesson that's proven itself time and time again.
Look at us now.
It's your own Mamma Mia. There are five potential fathers on the island. Any one of them could have sired a man.
You know,
to
when you phrase it like that, that sounds like the setup for a horror movie, though. Like, you're on an island. There's five potential fathers.
Yeah.
I was thinking more heist.
My five dads.
Oh, where is that Mamma Mia heist picture that we've all been waiting for?
Would watch.
We've got to steal the ABBA holograms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I got a lot of bad advice too. I think that my generation probably grew up with some of the worst relationship advice, especially for dudes like on the planet. Like I wanted to talk about bad advice just because of like High Fidelity, who John Cusack, not content to ruin a generation on proper dating by like stalking a woman with a boombox above his head, then goes on to 10 years later ruin a whole new crop with High Fidelity. You once again giving you great lessons like if you have a relationship that ends in a way that's dissatisfactory, you should track down the person and harangue them until they'll discuss it with you. But
your closure is what matters.
Your closure is what matters.
Your emotional experience is more important than their new life.
The worst though was I was at the exact wrong age for Fight Club, which came out in the year I started college. So me and my dirtbag friends bought a like bootleg VHS of it when we were in New York and played it basically on a loop. Specifically the section about how self-improvement is masturbation, but self-destruction, and he doesn't finish the line, but you get the idea. We took the real wrong lesson from that, and like just the bigger dirtbags we could be, like the more 89-cent pizzas we could eat from the store and the more trash we could fill our cars with. That was like, this is exactly what Tyler Durden envisioned for us.
I'm going to say one word here. Swingers.
Yeah, all of swingers.
Start to finish. Just like, okay, not even just the relationship stuff, but just like wallet chains. It was just like this idea of just like, this is who you want to be. Hey, swing dancing's cool. Fuck.
Squirrel nut zippers, y'all.
Yeah.
Squirrel nut zippers might be the worst blight that film, the cracking of that Pandora's box
and
loosed
upon. And the end result being that if you play your cards right like this guy, then Heather Graham will be attracted to you. The movie is just like, oh, it's all bad. It's all
what
bad.
What if one of Squirrel Nut Zippers has already reached over and turned the knob down? Never mind. I don't like these podcasts. I don't think I'm going to listen to podcasts anymore.
Did they mention my bent? Oh no.
Rewind it. I want the kids to hear.
Roger Dodger is another one that I feel like.
I was going to bring it up. I didn't think enough people had seen it, but it might be a little too.
That was Jesse Eisenberg's like first major feature film, if memory serves. With who is the guy who actually plays
Campbell,
Roger Dodger?
Campbell Scott.
Yeah,
Berkeley's in there somewhere.
Of Christmas Carol live, Broadway Christmas Carol fame. Campbell Scott came out
in the early aughts. I feel like this was a pretty raucous period. Swingers was mid-90s, right? And then this, I feel like mid-90s to early aughts, it was like, we're going to make these cool dude movies about these cool dudes. And sure, they're pretty misogynistic, but that's like part of it. And they go on a journey, and by the end, you're rooting for them. And it's like, I'm pretty sure in Roger Dodger, he like encourages Jesse Eisenberg to feel up a sleeping person, which is bad, Roger Dodger. There's no way.
Yeah, the whole movie is bad. The arc of Roger Dodger is him learning, and so that at the end, instead of trying to seduce and be misogynistic to women out in society, he's teaching a new younger generation how to do it in a high school.
Yeah.
This grown man's just sitting at a high school lunch table telling boys how to manipulate women.
That's wild.
They said, cut, print, send it to the theaters.
He should be wearing like a wild fascinator hat and just be mystery. Just be the pickup artist. And that film would literally not change even a little bit.
I will see your Roger Dodger and raise you 16 candles.
Jesus Christ.
My high school period started with Porky's and ended with John Hughes. So, you know, taking off the table the fact that pretty much all movies that I ever saw in that period were about heterosexuality and thus completely sending me down the wrong path. The idea of like how courtship and romance works was pretty horrifying. Even like a movie that I loved, like Risky Business, kind of boiled down to like, well, if you'll luck out, you'll find the right sex worker and have them fall in love with you, but only after her pimp steals everything in your house and you have to buy it back.
Yeah, basic. That's a basic love story right there.
Instead of the Porky's generation. I was the American Pie generation. Mm-hmm. And that's the whole reason I lost my virginity before I graduated, because I was like, there's no way I can't graduate a virgin. I got to. So, you know, we had a pact, and that's how I lost my virginity, by having a consensual pact. So I didn't really pay attention to the movie that much, because I was really focusing on boundaries and consent.
I thought you said you'd lost your virginity to a pastry.
Oh, I wish.
You wish?
I was like, man, my mom would beat my ass if I ruined a whole pie. Like that was the thing stopping me, not the actual activity. No. I was like,
well, like one profiterole, sure, but
I could do a slice and, you know, go to town on that, and it's all fair game. But if a whole pie, mom's beat my ass over that one.
Discuss the tremendous cost of his sex act to that pie. He did it right in the middle of the pie. So it's like, you can't even eat it. Yeah. You can't get a slice out of that pie anymore. Yeah. It has been defiled geometrically.
Also, what I'm hearing from you is that you would if he had taken a sideways entry.
If he had cut half the pie away to hump half the pie, yeah, and left the other half for Eugene Levy to enjoy, I think everybody would have been satisfied.
You have to go in sideways. Like, now thinking about it as an adult, like going from the top, you don't.
But
get
then,
much
how do you
depth.
Spin the pie around?
Yeah. They don't tell you. Jason Biggs has a tuna can. And that makes it actually,
Jesus,
it's like dimensionally.
Jason Biggs
just turned off the podcast. Never mind.
Can't we ostracize?
You were right, Squirrel Nut Zippers lead singer. This podcast is no good.
I'm sorry I told you we should keep listening. Now, back to our chess game.
I feel very like, my lesson learned is one that is in this very in Beauty and the Beast, mm-hmm. but is a lesson that's picked up on many of the films that you've said, which is the absolute damaging concept of he's not bad, he's just misunderstood.
Yeah.
And the amount of children who find that movie so wonderful and engaging, it's a beloved film, is horrifying to me, because the Beast is this abusive character, and it is like just washed away in the Lloyd Dobler and what's his name in High Fidelity? Rob in High Fidelity.
Yeah.
Like, it's the same vein of like, oh no, let him just be petulant and call all the shots and do anything, and your job is to
he's
wear
no
a,
Gaston,
a yellow dress.
At least.
Yeah, he's
much
not
better,
bad
though?
Like Gaston.
He's not that
he's
much
just
better.
Angry and violent.
That's, that's the Beast's arc, if I remember correctly, it's been a while, is sure he has kidnapped this woman and her dad for a minute, but mostly this young woman, and is very abusive. But fuck, he's got so many books. Look at all his books. Could he be that bad? Look at all his books.
Yes, it's entirely on her shoulders to find the empathy for him and zero work for him to do same situation.
I'm really glad you brought this up, because I was thinking about this film recently, because my kids watch these constantly, so I'm like revisiting a lot. So like, the Beast, what we know of the Beast is that he's this conceited prince, and an old woman shows up at his door and she's like, please help me. And he's like, get lost, like you stink. And she's like, fuck you, I'm gonna turn you into a beast.
Right.
Okay. Flash forward, the next thing that happens to this dude, the next thing that happens to him, 20 years later, he's locked in this hell. An old person comes to his home and is like, please help me. And this motherfucker's like, eh, eat shit, no way. He has not grown. He sucks then, he sucks now. Then Belle's like, I see something in this guy. I think,
yeah.
No, he's incapable of change. Nothing got through to this guy.
Yeah,
nothing.
Can I tell you? The thing that pisses me off about Beauty and the Beast is this dude says, get out of here, old lady, you stink like butts. And he sends her away and she's like, I'm actually a fairy princess or whatever, and you're cursed. And at no point is like the guy who's his butler or his cook who gets turned into an inanimate object like, hey, wait, hold on, this fucking sucks.
Yeah,
I didn't do shit.
Like, she not?
Yeah, she's also not great.
Well, you know what?
Okay,
shame on Lumiere spells, lady.
Oh, you're the asshole staff. You're going down too.
The spoons and the forks and shit move. Are those people that they're eating with? when Belle uses the spoon, is she putting someone's face in her mouth?
So don't go down that. That's nothing good.
They sing and dance.
Okay. She's scraping plate guy with fork woman. It's all bad.
If you go too far down that road, you start worrying about what happens when Chip comes back to life as a human boy with massive head trauma. It's like,
or you think
don't do that.
You think about the song and dance in the dining room, but there are other rooms in that house, like bathroom, that you don't want every object in there to be.
Our Mrs. Chamberpots.
Yeah.
The bidet becomes the Nestor Williams movie.
It's totally fine. I'm nasty.
Monsieur Toilette.
I loved it then and I like it now.
Oh, that is the shot you needed when they all became human again for like Monsieur Chamberpot to come out and be like, well, I'm stuffed. Couldn't need
another. If you could change me back, I sure would appreciate it.
Oh, the sweet release of death is mine at last.
Monsieur Chamberpot is the one watching the rose petals fall like, oh, fuck, please hurry.
No, Belle, I wouldn't stay if I were you, Belle. I'd go. Yeah, he's a real piece of shit, and I know.
You know, spin kick that rose into the fireplace if you can be so kind. Right, say, if somebody wanted to listen to Maximum Film, where would be a good place for them to start?
Ooh.
We recently recorded an episode of the Motion Picture Coda, which is currently available on streaming with our friend Moshe Kasher, who's an incredible comedian. And Coda, if you're not familiar with it, is a lovely story of, it stands for Child of Deaf Adults. And it is a teenage girl sort of coming of age, and she has two deaf parents and a deaf brother. And Moshe, in addition to being hysterical, is also the child of deaf adults. So had some really cool insights. And we like a film with unique perspectives that's also well made. Don't come to us with the shitty films and unique perspectives. We really like.
I said I was
nice,
sorry, Drea. That was one time.
Do you all just usually pick one film each episode? And is that how it's structured? If people haven't listened before, is that what they can anticipate there?
Yeah, generally speaking, we review mostly new releases, but every so often we'll do like an anniversary or something that ties into something else that's about to come out or whatever. But then also in every episode at the end, we include our staff picks, where we'll each pick a movie that could be out in theater, or might be streaming or new on video, or just one that we, you know, randomly plucked out of the ether. So, but yeah, for the most part, we do focus on a single release and very often with, like in the case of Coda, a qualified guest to sort of throw around ideas with us. Oh, and folks should definitely tune in October. We're doing kind of a theme month. Every week, we're going to talk about classic queer horror movies just in time for Halloween.
Excellent.
Yes. And we'll cover some film news. We like to make Casey, our producer, make us quizzes because we all like to win those quizzes.
Well, yeah.
Our listeners send us great questions.
Yeah, we answer listener questions.
We like fair quizzes that are built well, and their questions make sense, and everyone gets it, you know?
And if he never complains about the quizzes, for sure. Yeah.
So it sounds like everyone loves the quizzes.
Those of us who are good at them adore them. Oh. Yeah.
So it seems pointless to ask, but what just happens over there on My Brother and Me?
Yeah, we give bad advice to people. You can listen to any episode. They are interchangeable both to you, the listening audience, and to us, the creators at this point. We've made 580 of them, and it just keeps getting better, but it also keeps getting less distinguishable from pre. We spent half of today's episode talking about, have we discussed this before? It feels like we've talked about, like, not general stuff like dogs, but specific stuff like an anti-stink that can erase a bad stink to replace it with a good new stink. Like, it gets, so it's a good show, and we usually comes out every Monday, and you can just hop on anywhere. We don't do a lot of like running jokes or anything like that. Sometimes we'll do news from the world of fast food. This is called Munch Squad. Sometimes we have a haunted doll watch where we'll get in and check out haunted dolls. We occasionally, Travis has some called Work of Fart, where he replaces the names of, he makes scatological puns out of great works of art.
It's not always like, scatological. Hey, sometimes it's just like different human fluids.
Yeah, like a streetcar named D's Nuts. That was not necessarily scatological. That's true. It's a good point.
And those amazing Mad Libs. Let's not bury the lead.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you for reminding Travis about that bit, that it exists.
Yeah. Sadly, Libs is like Mad Libs, except I just choose the words and where they go, and then I write around the word. So it's not like Mad Libs at all. It's like bad writing.
It's just word garbage that Travis
just word garbage
exposes us to.
What days do you guys release? I meant to ask.
We come out on Fridays.
We come out on Friday. Well, that's a good. You got a good gap there. There's plenty of time to listen to both.
We're gonna bookend your weeks.
Well, thank you all for meeting us in the parking lot. Can you give us a ride? Because we actually walk.
If you can climb up this truck, you can come with us wherever you want to go.
I've always wanted to ride on the ladder while it is up in the sky, at the top height.
Yeah, why not?
And
just don't look directly at the Dalmatian because it gets real nervous.
Yeah.
Okay.
I wouldn't do that anyway. I'm
here. Before we wrap, let's all get a selfie together. Okay. Everybody say discount mattresses.
All right, holding the hose.
Holding the hose.
We don't have a signature outro for this podcast.
Keep holding the hose, everyone.
Everyone keep holding the hose. Till next year.
Keep on holding that hose.
Please.
Please, we're begging you.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.